I'm Allison Anderson, and when Pastor Eileen asked for volunteers to share our faith journey several months ago, I read through all of the passages and looked at all the dates that she offered and decided this passage about Jeremiah spoke to me. God talks to Jeremiah and tells him to write down everything God has said about Israel and Judah and all the nations and let them know all the things he will do if they don't shape up and behave. So Jeremiah does this and asks Baruch to take this information to the temple in hopes that the people will turn from their evil ways. So Baruch does as he's asked, and the king finds out about it and sends Jehudi to get the scroll and read it to him. As Jehudi is reading the scroll, the king cuts off the parts already read and burns it until it's gone. So we can easily figure out how the king felt about this covenant. So God speaks to Jeremiah again and tells him to write it all down again and more. And then, as Charles mentioned, we jump back three chapters and learn about the new covenant God is going to make with people, in which he will write the covenant on their hearts. He will be their God, and they will be their people. I have been reading and rereading these passages for the last couple of months, and this is what I think this means for us. God wants to be in covenant with us and us with each other so that we know what is in each of our hearts. So here's some background about me. I was raised in a Catholic church. One of my favorite quotes from George Carlin is, "I used to be Irish Catholic, now I'm an American. You know, you grow." So I was frustrated by the number of rules in the Catholic church that seemed man-made. For instance, my mother couldn't take communion because she'd been divorced. In high school, I joined campus life, and I got a Bible, and I started learning about Jesus. Then I married an agnostic and kind of got away from church. Throughout my adult life, I've always been a prayer that never stopped, even when I was not attending church. I would spend Sunday mornings in a park, enjoying the beauty that God made. God was always in my heart. When we moved to Ames, I thought about church now and again. I went to services at some churches around town, but none seemed like a good fit. One of the first questions I was always asked was, "Well, why haven't you been at church for all this time that you've been living in Ames?" And I really didn't have a good answer. Well, I got divorced in 1999, the same year my dad died. He and my mom had gotten away from the Catholic Church as well and attended Willow Creek Church, which is this behemoth church in the Chicago suburbs. They have dancing, they have music, they have video screens everywhere. But when I found out that his mega church, the ministers didn't know him, as he was eulogized by his friends, I learned things about him. One being that he always kept an extra coat in his car so that if he came across someone who didn't have one, he could give that coat to a person in need. My dad was a frugal man. We watched pennies. But here he was giving away winter coats. He was a good, godly man who had his failings, but he always knew he was loved by God. Now, around that same time, the McDuff family moved into the house behind me. Steve was called to be pastor here at Ames UCC. His son Luke and my son John were in Boy Scouts and school together and hung around quite a bit through the last part of elementary school. I often stopped to talk with Steve while he was out walking his dogs and I was out walking mine. And we'd talk about our kids and our lives and sometimes about his church. Well, in 2006, my friend Jan and I were traveling back from a conference in Montreal in late May, and our flight from Chicago to Des Moines was canceled due to bad weather. There were lots of people trying to get to Des Moines because of Special Olympics that were coming up. This was on a Wednesday, and we were told the first flight we could get would be late Friday. We were 6 hours from home, but we had to stay two extra days to fly there. Another person who was stranded was Elizabeth, who had traveled from Germany to spend the summer at the Easter Seals camp in Des Moines as a counselor. Jan and I befriended her. We rented a car and brought her back to Des Moines. Elizabeth grew up in what used to be East Germany, and her mother was a lay leader of the church. They couldn't be too obvious about things, but they were strong Christians. Elizabeth told me, "My mother was praying for me during my travel. I know without a doubt that God put Jan and me in that place to help Elizabeth." So it was time to get serious about finding a church. I started attending Ames UCC and sat with Nancy and Doug Heathman in the back. I'd worked in the same office with Nancy for 15 years. She was the accountant and I was afraid of her, but we got along. I got to know the people who sat near us in that back corner. And soon after I started attending church, I signed up to deliver Meals on Wheels, which I had been doing the whole time I lived in Ames. Unfortunately for me, Nancy Clark was not one of the people I was acquainted with, and she was in charge of Meals on Wheels, and she still is, so she always is looking for volunteers. Well, I had signed up. She didn't know me. She didn't know my name. So she actually talked to Bonnie Treaty to see if Bonnie thought I would be an okay person to trust with Meals on Wheels. Bonnie vouched for me. She had seen me often enough to see what God had written on my heart. That's what God wants for all of us, to be in covenant with each other and him. So when I told my mother and my sister-in-law that I was doing them, both of them said, "Really? I could never do that." Yes, this is something that terrifies me, speaking in front of all of you, being vulnerable, sharing my story. But I've always believed that there is nothing I will be asked to walk through that God will be absent. Nothing. The God I know is all-knowing, all-powerful, endlessly loving, for which I am grateful. He is God, the God of the second, third, and fourth chances. His promise is written on my heart. My granddaughters, Mari, who's 3, and Eliana, who's 7, they're sitting there, often come to church with me. And we had quite a theological discussion recently. On the way to church, we were talking about that Elliot's mom, Jenya, was going to be giving the sermon when she did the godly play. And I told them that I heard she was a little nervous about it, but that she was going to be okay, and that I was also going to be standing up and talking in front of people. And I was a bit afraid, but I knew God would be with me. Well, Mari said, "I don't think God lives in our neighborhood." Well, Eliana promptly told her that God is everywhere. God is in our hearts and our minds and loves us always. After much discussion, Mari decided that God lives in her heart too. The conversation then went on to question, if God lives in everyone's hearts, why do people do bad things? Again, we talked about God being in everyone's heart, and he wants everyone to love each other, be kind and nice and good to each other. But some people don't listen to God, and maybe don't know that they can listen to God. People have doubts and worries and are afraid, but we need to lean on God who is in our hearts. We need to know each other. God said, "I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will know me from the least of them, all the way down to the 3-year-olds, to the greatest." Amen.